Welcome to the Infinite Tangent Podcast. I'm your host, Kaylee Koo. I am a licensed metaphysical minister with a master's degree in metaphysics and a bachelor's degree in philosophy. And we're here today to talk about some really interesting topics. But here's the catch. I have really bad ADHD, so this is designed for neurodivergent listeners. So if you can follow, hang in there. Yes, I'm in a hot tub, and yes, it's snowing, because right now, we're going to attempt to talk about water. Water is such an interesting topic because it is like basically all of life forms. All of life is made from water. And, you know, a lot of times people talk about like all energy is water and things like that. Well, the funny thing is when we talk about energy, we're usually talking about the stars, like astrology. Yeah. I literally can talk about astrology for days, but that is literally not what we're here to talk about. I do have a book called The Star Clock that is on Amazon if you'd like to go and find it. It's really good for beginners and people who are not very familiar with astrology. You can find this on Amazon, and it's definitely a good read. If you do know a lot about astrology, it just tells you exactly what you are probably wondering about, like transits and stuff like that. And then if you don't know anything about astrology, it has all the basics that you need. So anyway, I'm an Aquarius, and Aquarius energy is everywhere right now. So I'd like to talk about Aquarius a little bit because it's kind of misunderstood what Aquarius really represents. And what's interesting is that the Aquarius is, as we know, the water bearer. That means the bearer of water, right? And when we see the symbol, we are seeing a man, usually a sexy little half-naked man, sometimes a woman, but usually somebody who's really ripped, pouring down water, boom, out of a little pitcher. Yeah, that's Aquarius, okay? So Aquarius is based off the constellation that kind of looks like a sexy man pouring water, because that's how astrology is a little bit based. But what we don't understand a lot of times about ancient Greek astrology and modern Western astrology, and there's even what's called Vedic astrology, completely different what I'm talking about right now. I'm going to talk about Western astrology because I think at least the Western half of the world typically can wrap their head around it more. But if you really want to push your limits with astrology, you should be learning Vedic astrology. That is the most accurate out of all of them. That's mostly practiced in India and South Asia. But if you don't want to jump into like all the craziness of Vedic astrology, because it is a lot more complicated, Western astrology gives you the tools to kind of learn the basics. And that's what I'm going to talk about right now. And so the age of Aquarius is also upon us too. But before I get into that, let me explain what Aquarius really symbolizes, because it's actually super interesting. And forgive my ADHD, but I kind of want my hot tub to change all rainbow. I think it, oh yeah. Wait, now it does different colors. Okay, sorry. So I wanted to do the thing where it like actually changes though. Whatever, pick a color and deal with it, I guess. Okay, so what we are working with here with Aquarius energy, like, what is even a water bearer? Like, first thing that comes to mind is like the water boy, like Adam Sandler. And I feel like we all know that's not what the ancient Greeks were talking about, right? And sure, maybe there was like a sexy dude whose job was like to give a pitcher of water to people, maybe. But, like, realistically, what does Aquarius mean? Let's talk about the attributes of Aquarius. What are Aquarius known for? They're typically very unique and interesting. They tend to be a little bit aloof sometimes. They can be very quirky, to say. You know, here I am. I'm an Aquarius sitting in a hot tub doing a podcast. Like, what can be weirder than that? You know, they're not afraid to be weird. They like humanity. They are really interested in like the themes of friends and groups of people and technology. I can't even stress enough how much technology is related to Aquarius energy. So what are we kind of looking at with that? Well, instead of the ancient Greeks having like some sexy young dude like pouring water, how does that fit with technology, quirkiness, unusual, strangeness, aloofness, like all these things that kind of set that apart? What does that sound more like to you? If you are thinking alien, you're spot on. The water bearer is not a terrestrial being, but something from above pouring knowledge down to the earth below. So the water itself represents knowledge, and the being, the man or the woman pouring the water, is actually the intelligent life who came to earth to bestow their wisdom on the planet. And so, yes, it is kind of like, what? Ancient Greeks talking about aliens? Like, yeah, it's kind of out there, but you know what? It's the only thing that really makes sense, especially when we're talking about like actual astrology. It's kind of interesting. So we had a very special date not too long ago on November 19th, 2024. We had Pluto.
Oh no.
Excuse my jets trying to go off. Hot tub life. That was the stars getting excited about what I was going to say. Not going to lie. That was funny. Okay. So, basically, what happened was Pluto, which is a planet, yes, in astrology it's considered a planet, in astronomy not so much, but according to astrology, Pluto has just moved into Aquarius, and we have been anticipating this for a very long time. Now, I do want to distinguish that Pluto being in Aquarius and the age of Aquarius are two different things. I think first let me specify what the age means, and then we'll get into actual Pluto, because the age is actually something completely different. It is the tilt of the planet that kind of shifts whenever we have a like angle shift happening to like a few degrees either way or the other that's like major. We see that there is energy shifting too. So whenever we make like a full alignment lap and then we shift, there's correlations there. So the actual age of Aquarius and the actual age of Pisces and the actual age of Aries are all things that we have had in our most recent history. And what's going on with ages of astrology are they move backwards about every 2,000 years. So our most recent one before we entered the age of Aquarius, which we're currently in, and yes, there's a popular song called The Age of Aquarius, and they're saying it's the dawn of the age of Aquarius because there is about a 50-year cusp period where it transitions between two signs, and now it has actually finally hit. So now we are actually living in the real age of Aquarius. And this is going to last for the next 2,000 years. Now, this moves backwards from the rest of astrology because this is not our rotations around the sun. This is our tilt in the sky, or this is like a deeper like age period. So before Aquarius actually came Pisces rather than Capricorn. So what was the age of Pisces all about? Well, the age of Pisces was very Jesus Christian oriented. We had a rise in Islam as well, and kind of this movement away through Judaism and finding other prophets, like religiously. People were very spiritual and into like organized religion altogether. You know, we across the world had a lot of people who found transcendentalism through this period and have found like a new awakening in how they look at life. You know, there is more art, there's more music, there's more beauty. That's very Piscean. We had a lot of symbolism of fish. The reason I keep bringing up Christianity here is because that was kind of the big movement. Each era is given kind of a big movement, and different religions have different versions of it, but that's kind of, I think, what the Western world would understand the most. So when we talk about these big energy shifts, our last era of energy was in Pisces, and we typically associate the figure of Jesus Christ with the fish, and Pisces is the fish. And when we look at what the fish represent, it is the kind of going with the flow kind of energy, art and beauty and stuff. But you know what? Sometimes you go off on your own. Like, if you think about the culture of fish, yeah, sometimes they swim in schools, they belong, and they have to conform because of that mutable energy. They are conforming to society, basically. And then we get a lot of this isolation, too. If you accidentally lose your school of fish, you're dipping out over here, and you're not sure what the heck is going on anymore. So when it comes to this Pisces energy, what's really going on was an age of encompassing Pisces as a collective, as the world. We had this advanced civilization. Oh, I hear my poor kitty. He's been out in the cold all night. Lucky! Oh, it's not Lucky. It's Fluffy. He's inside. He just wants to come hot tub. Hi, kitty. I'm doing a podcast. I'm sorry, baby. Anyway, excuse my cat. So, as we talk about this kind of energy, we are moving into a different version of it. So, let's talk about what became before Pisces was Aries. So, the age of Aries, 2,000 years before that, was kind of, I guess, religiously represented by the ram, which was Moses, who had the ram's horn, and they were putting an end to the age of the bull. If you have studied the Bible or are familiar with the book of Exodus, you would understand that when the Jews left Egypt under Moses's lead, they were in the desert wandering for 40 years. And when Moses was up on Mount Sinai getting the Ten Commandments, he basically came back to watching everybody worshiping a bull, a false idol, as they say in the Bible. But really what his mission was to bring forth the age of Aries and to cleanse the ways of thinking of the Taurus age, which is the bull. So what's so interesting about this is, like, we are seeing symbolism. Again, Jesus Christ, the fish. We have Moses, the Aries, the ram's horn. And then I know there's lots of different associations with the bull. I think we find that more in other cultures. But for, I think, what most of Western society would like to think of, I think most of Western society kind of, we see a lot of Catholicism and Christianity in Western society. And in those terms, I would say, like, we would probably be talking about, I think Joseph is referenced, or even Abraham before that. But, you know, my goal here is not to get biblical, because honestly, I feel like that is just one of many, many, many interpretations of society. What I'm trying to talk about is energy. And we're going to rewind back to what it means for the age of Aquarius, because again, I went on a little bit of a tangent, but that's why you're listening to the Infinite Tangent. So basically, when we look back, what is this transition from the age of Pisces to the age of Aquarius? What we are seeing is Pisces energy, all about transcendentalism. There was a lot of hippie energy, like trying drugs, trying new music, like, what is life? Art, blah, blah, blah. So cool. Religion, spiritual religion, woo, woo shit, you know? But now we're seeing it in a new light. And they say that upon the dawn of the age, there's always some sort of prophet or leader who is that sign. If you look back, and we have lots of people who argue about this, but there is a lot of people who do think so. We know that Jesus Christ was not born on Christmas Day. That is something that we are making from the pagan calendar. And because that's when the pagans celebrated holidays, we tacked a Christian holiday onto that and celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ, when really, astrology really, really points to him either being born a Virgo or Pisces. And this makes more sense as him being a Pisces. They are to the week able to peg it. But the only thing is, they sometimes would read the stars backwards. So some people would read it as where the sun is in, like we do in traditional astrology. But in the olden days, they would sometimes read it as what star constellation is centered above us, meaning the sun is opposite of it, and it's the highest one in the night. The highest one in the night was Virgo. So some people think that Jesus was actually a Virgo. But realistically, if we are translating that into how we do astrology now, it would be that Jesus was a Pisces, because the sun would have been in Pisces and Virgo would have been displayed above in the sky. And that's the interesting part, is that my hot tub likes to turn on randomly. My bad. So, basically, the star constellations above are correlated with who the prophet of that age was. And for 2,000 years, that was an extremely prominent belief system, a religion based around this single man, Jesus Christ, when there's so many other prophets going on. And during this time too, we've also saw Muhammad in Islam come to be like a significant prophet too. And there is some significance about that, but I don't want to jump into too many details that are on another big tangent, because we are so deep in this tangent already. But, moving into Aquarius, we're likely to have some sort of leader within our lifetimes who is an Aquarius, and they are going to kind of give us the new teachings of what we're going to live by the next 2,000 years. It may or may not be a religious belief. So typically what has happened in the past, it's like that becomes the religion for the next 2,000 years. But I feel like the cool thing about Aquarius is they're kind of anti-religion. They are anti-organized structure. And that's what we're going to see a lot of patterns of in these next 2,000 years, and especially this next 19 years. Because again, Pluto's in Aquarius, we're going to jump into that in just a moment. But just wrapping up this age, what this age really is the advancement of technology. It is coming together as a collective, as society, rather than viewing each other as individuals. We're going to start to realize that we are all part of one bigger thing. And society isn't going to hold us back from that. So there's a lot of rebellion and a lot of, you know, changing the ways and being unique and being authentic. These are big themes of Aquarius. So that's what to expect the next 2,000 years. And honestly, just from my own woo-woo channeling stuff that I like to do, I've kind of picked up on the fact that rather than having like a physical prophet, we may have like a person guide us into this era of sorts, this age. But I think in a weird way, this is my personal belief, and there's no real evidence of this except for my own reading of the energy, but AI is almost going to help us as a guide, almost be this like religious replacement. Like, we are going to turn to AI for advice. We're going to use AI to our advantage basically requesting things from AI the way that we request things in prayer. And it's not going to take away our spirituality, but help us see this spirituality in a new light. So, that being said, the next 19 years, starting November 19th, 2024, Pluto is going to be stationed in Aquarius. And Pluto rules larger generations. We see different eras happen different. So I'd like to say that the outer planets, in my little book here, my star clock book that is covered in snow. Because, yes, we are currently in Minnesota. I live all over the place, but I'm currently in Minnesota in a hot tub. But in this book, I talk about all the outer planets. So we're going to kind of look through some of these different things. And I kind of talk about all the different like experiences that we find when we enter these different stages. So the outer planets move a lot slower than the inner planets. And so Pluto, being the most outer planet in our solar system, is definitely taking us on a little journey here. And if you want to check out my book, it does explain exactly what to expect every time that Pluto's in Aquarius, or what it was being in Capricorn and blah, 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 so forth. But truly what we need to expect here. And this is going to go until 2044. And we did get a little bit of taste of this because it actually went retrograde recently. And then now we're direct and it is finally transitioned back into Aquarius. So what we got a taste in was like at the end of 2023 and the beginning of 2024, that was the entrance into kind of giving us a taste of it. We saw a lot of AI come out of the woodwork. So AI popped up. It kind of got social media, which was very Capricorn. Think about that. Think about that for a second. The last 15 years being heavy in social media, that was the age of Capricorn. And yes, Capricorn is shorter because it didn't have a retrograde like Aquarius. It technically did, but it just teetered back into Capricorn for a tiny bit of time. So what's going on with Aquarius, the last time that Pluto was in Aquarius was during the French Revolution and the American Revolution in the 1700s. And people are kind of freaking out like, oh no, we're going to have war, World War III, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, you have to look at where the other planets were stationed in the sky. And we had a opposition, I believe, with Uranus. And I believe that it is now in a trine, which is a harmonious energy. So what it's really implying is that, yes, we're going to have a change and a revolution, but it's not going to be a warlike revolution because I believe it's going to be in Gemini that is trining with. And that trine is about communication and working together. And so when Aquarius and Gemini are together, very good things happen. And yes, there's going to be a lot of change because Pluto is the planet of change and transformation. So we are going to see a destruction to our old ways and an intake of a completely new system. And it's very likely that the government is going to be a different place. The world leadership, like the UN and stuff, is going to operate differently. Aliens might come to like show themselves once and for all, because aliens and Aquarius go hand in hand, let me tell you. If there were a better symbol than the water bearer, it would be simply the alien emoji. That would literally describe an Aquarius so hardcore. You know, we have a lot of the signs that are very spot on for what they are. You know, I would definitely say like the crab for Cancer, super spot on. You know, those people like to be in their shell, but if you fuck with them, they're gonna make sure that they protect themselves with their little pinchers, and they're sweet people. But you know what I'm getting at. So, and you know, the bull, you don't want to mess with. They're really sweet, like a little cow. But then they can be the bull in the china shop if you mess with them the wrong way. Aries always ramming head first into things. You know, if I had to describe an Aries, they would be the little symbol of, like, no diving. You know, you'll break your neck if you jump in head first, because that's what Aries are always doing. But, you know, Aquarius, over here, they're not pouring out water, let's be real. Like, I mean, maybe, like, I'm in a hot tub. I like being around water, but I'm not, like, the water. I'm an air sign, and that's a big misconception. I don't know if I mentioned that earlier. Aquarius is often mistaken for a water sign, but in reality, it's actually an air sign. And I'm out here because I want to get fresh air, not because I want to sit in the water. If I wanted water, I can go in my shower or take a bath or whatever. But to be outside with this fresh air, that's what tickles my fancy with my air sign nature. And so getting into what that is all about, Aquarius energy is so much more like just some like weirdo alien, like you don't know what you're gonna expect, but like at the same time, the aliens are going to control what's going on with humanity. And humanity is a huge theme of Aquarius energy. There are so many Aquarius that are humanitarians. And you look at, like, Aquarius. Aquarius almost always do talk shows. That's, like, a very Aquarius thing to do. You got, like, Oprah and Ellen DeGeneres. They're always, like, talking about society. And my hot tub. Excuse my hot tub. I don't know why it wants to make bubbles. I'm not a fan of the bubbles tonight. But, yeah. So, all in all, recap of our whole little freaking tangent that we just went on. Basically, the age of Aquarius is upon us. And this is a time right now where we have to be prepared for dramatic change. And this change might not be what we expect. This change is more than likely going to be technologically oriented, coming together as a collective, as society as a whole, and we might find leadership in somebody who is astrologically an Aquarius, and AI is going to be part of our future, whether we like it or not. And that's some hard things to hear for some people, because some people are so stuck in the old ways of thinking AI is going to take over the world and it's going to take our jobs. And I'm going to be real with you guys. I actually lost a job to AI, and I've been kind of struggling ever since. But at the same time, I've been finding myself. So while I don't have that traditional 9-to-5 job anymore, like a Capricorn energy insinuates we need to have, we're kind of breaking out of this 9-to-5 structure of Capricorn work energy where Pluto was, and now we're transitioning into Aquarius, where Aquarius is very creative. We're going to do what we think is a good idea and make it happen, and we're going to kind of depend on others for support, because there's nothing wrong with reaching out to your community for moral support, for financial support, for just like cheering you up and making you feel better at the end of the day. We are bringing in this era of community, and that's what's super important to understand. So as we come into this, we don't need to be afraid of all these changes and all these transitions. Basically, we just need to be in touch with Aquarius, which is not a water sign, it's the air. But it's time to say goodbye to the water. But that doesn't mean don't drink water, because, bruh, water is life. Like, water is so important for our well-being. So cheers, and make sure you hydrate, because, yes, we can be heavily influenced by one element, but we have to remember all the elements as a whole complete us. So never put too much energy into one element, and make sure you drink your water. Thank you for joining me on the Infinite Tangent, and I hope you guys all have a wonderful night. And feel free to follow me on Instagram or send me a DM if you have any specific questions. I would love to hear them.